Verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And this is our verse for today. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If I can give you my little version or paraphrasal of Romans 1:17, I wrote it out like this. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. I put here, for there in the gospel, God's righteousness is revealed. That's not a translation, no. That's a paraphrasal by me for myself. For there in the gospel, God's righteousness is revealed. Now, isn't that what it says? For therein, referring to the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. I'll go a step further and say, for there in the gospel of Christ, the power of God brings about the righteousness of God. In the shower this morning, I was meditating on that. And I just thought, you know, I've heard it said so often that the sinner is declared to be righteous. The sinner is declared to be righteous. But I thought, you know, it's got to be more than a mere declaration of righteousness. That's great. But if there is no transformation in the life, I wonder about the declaration. Because the Bible says he was declared, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And there in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. I think with power to bring about the realization, not just the declaration, of righteousness in the person. Declared to be righteous, but also transformed from an unrighteous person into a righteous living person. Okay, I just wanted to put that out at the beginning so you can see where I'm not going with the rest of it when it sounds like I am. Okay, so let's begin asking the question, or did I finish that? For there in the gospel, God's righteousness is revealed, which is appropriated by faith and maintained by faith, as Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. That's my rewriting of that for clarification for me. For there in the gospel, God's righteousness is revealed, which is appropriated by faith and maintained by faith. Yes. From faith to faith. Appropriated by faith, maintained by faith, as Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by faith. Okay, what is the righteousness of God, and how can we obtain the righteousness of God? I've already explained that it sounds to me like he's saying here, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. So then I have to ask myself the question, what is the gospel? Well, the answer to that is the gospel is good news. Gospel means good news or glad tidings. In fact, they're translated that way in the scripture sometimes. Well, basically, what is the good news? I think the good news is Jesus. Jesus is the good news. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Do you want to know what the gospel is? Paul said right here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He, Christ, was buried, and that He, Christ, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He, Christ, was seen of Cephas, son of the 12, after that of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He, Christ, was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He, Christ, was seen of me, as of one born out of due time. Praise the Lord. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that He lived a holy life, that He died, that He was buried according to the Scriptures, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. That is good news. In Romans 1:15, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm ready to preach. What am I going to preach? I'm going to preach the gospel. Well, just finger through the book of Romans with me for a minute and look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 27. What did Paul preach? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. What's the good news? Jesus is the good news. Okay, what did Paul preach? Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge with sin or impute sin. Praise the Lord. What's the gospel? Good news. What did Paul preach? He preached the gospel. And now we're reading what he preached. Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that good news? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Here's the good news. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's good news, folks. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, 12, and 13. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That's good news. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And I don't know, and I repeat, why people want to make a difference between Jew and Greek when the Bible says there's no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Isn't that good news? Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did Paul preach? Well, that's what he preached in the book of Romans along with all the other good things. Now turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Excuse me. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. How that glad tidings, good news, the gospel. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that He hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the Second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Remember what Jesus said in John, what, 5:39, somewhere around there? He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And now we read here that God made some promises unto their fathers, and it says here, Jesus is the fulfillment. What's the good news? Jesus. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's the good news, and that's the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. Praise the Lord. Okay, what is the righteousness of God, and how can we obtain it? I said the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. What is the gospel? We talked about that. Now let's go back and talk about what is the righteousness of God. Again, basically, fundamentally, foundationally, Jesus is the righteousness of God. 1 John 2, the first part of that verse, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now sure, it may mean the righteous one. But it says, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay? Follow me now. I've got a point to make here. We also read in Psalm 16:10 that Jesus is the Holy One. The Holy One. Jesus is the only good man, right? And yet the Bible says, be lovers of good men. The Bible speaks about a man and it says he was a good man. And we're supposed to love good men. And yet the Bible says, Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, save God. And yet the Bible says, Jesus is good. I said Jesus is good. If he's not good, then he's no good. If he's not God, he's no good. Because there's only one good, and that's God. So if Jesus isn't God, then he's not good.
That's right.
Follow me?
Amen. Yes.
There's only one good. Yes. That's God. So if Jesus isn't God, he's not good.
That's right.
Amen. So Jesus is God. Jesus is the Holy One. The devils knew that. We know thee, Jesus, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus is the only, the Bible says in Romans 3, there is none good. There is none just. There is none righteous. And yet the Bible says Jesus is that just one. It says specifically, he is the just one. In fact, it's capitalized. Capital J, just, capital O, one. He is the Holy One, capital H, capital O. He's the Holy One, he's the just one. I believe that's the way it is in the scripture. Well, let's just look and make sure. I don't want to talk out of turn here. Acts 22:14. Acts 22:14. Yes. And see that just one, capital J and capital O. See that just one. And should us hear the voice of his mouth. There is only one that is just. That's Jesus. There is only one that is righteous. That's Jesus. There is only one that is good. That's Jesus. And this gospel, this social gospel today that makes everybody good. Oh, you know, there's some good in the worst of us. And there's some bad in the best of us. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't that sound good? You know. The Bible says there's no good in any of us. There is none good, just one. And so when I say, what is the righteousness of God? I say, Jesus is the righteousness of God. And the rest of us are all lost, unfit for heaven, unless something wonderful happens, unless a miracle takes place. None of us were born heaven-bound, really. Okay, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's 1 John 2:1. Jesus is the Holy One, Psalm 16:10. Jesus is that just one, Acts 22:14. Now back to the question, what is the righteousness of God and how can we obtain it? As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Verses 1 through 8. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, faith. On him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The word impute is from number 3049 in our Strong's Greek dictionary. And it means, quote, to put down to a person's account. We have imputed righteousness offered to us, given to us. Impute means Jesus lived a holy life and he gives us credit for his holy life. That's good news.
Amen.
Because if I could read the record of your life and if you could read the record of my life, we would not find it perfect. But when you have imputed righteousness and he gives you credit for his life, you are perfect. You are righteous. And now you can go to heaven. Now you can go to heaven. Because your sins have been forgiven. You have righteousness imputed to you. Oh, this is tremendous, just tremendous message to me. Praise the Lord. So I asked the question, what is the righteousness of God and how can we obtain it? The righteousness of God really, basically, is the life of Jesus. It's Jesus and his holy life. And we can get credit for that. How? By believing on him. Praise the Lord. That's what we read here. Not to him that worketh, but him that believeth is a reward not reckoned of debt, but of grace. Okay. Listen to this. I said, how can we obtain it? I have to prove my point as we go along here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus, the righteous one, the holy one, the good one, the just one. Jesus knew no sin, but God made him, that perfect man, to become sin for us, or to be made the sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus, thank you.
I know people that sit back sometimes. Brother Tamrick, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't need all this. Boy, do you ever need this.
Yes.
you ever need this? Why do people with the Holy Ghost backslide? I think it's because they don't have this. I think the people that have the Holy Ghost would get this teaching, learning, understanding. They'd never backslide. They'd fall so in love with Jesus that they wouldn't even think of turning around. So if you have the Holy Ghost this morning, you need this. Praise the Lord. In fact, if you only knew it, you have a better chance of understanding this than anybody else. Because you have the Holy Ghost. And He gave us the Holy Ghost so we could understand these things.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Put your Holy Ghost to work.
Amen.
Let it be active in your life. Okay? How can we obtain this righteousness of God? God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now remember, the Bible calls certain men other than Jesus righteous. Matthew 23:35. It talks about righteous Abel. From the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom he slew between the porch and the altar. Righteous Abel, right?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute now. I thought you said Jesus was the only righteous one. Well, let's go on. Matthew 13:17. Jesus said, many prophets and righteous men. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your ears. Righteous men. Matthew 13:43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So, there are many other places, but I brought out three places just to show you that other men are called righteous in the Scripture. Well, how do you answer that, Brother Tambor? You just said Jesus was the only righteous one. There's none righteous. We've got a problem here. How do we answer it? Well, you have to ask the question. How did these men become righteous? They became righteous by imputed righteousness. Romans 5:17 calls it the gift of righteousness. It isn't something you had, it's something that was given to you. Your righteousness is not something that you had, not something you were born with, it's something that was given to you. Romans 5:17, the gift of righteousness. How were these men made righteous? How was Abel made righteous? Well, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. This grace, this faith, gift of God. Righteousness, gift of God. Praise the Lord. So, we'll get more specific. How did Abel become righteous? Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did he become righteous? By faith. He wasn't born righteous. He had to receive a gift of righteousness to have it. It was given to him. How'd he get it? Through faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That's what it says. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel was made righteous through faith. We just read it. How did Enoch become righteous? I've often said the only person that ever pleased God was Jesus Christ. And I talk about baptizing people and never hearing a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. No. The only place that voice ever thundered from heaven was when Jesus was baptized. And it said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In another place on the top Mount of Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Don't hear anybody else, hear him. You know, he's got the message. He's the one. If we say what he says, we're saved. Okay, so how was Enoch made righteous? Or, no, I go on and I say, I say, Jesus is the only person that ever pleased God. Somebody said to me right away, what about Enoch? The Bible says Enoch was translated, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But you go back and read it in Hebrews 11, and it says, by faith. Mm-hmm. By faith, Enoch.
Yes. Yes.
And so you can put it all together. By faith, Enoch pleased God. There is no other way to be righteous, no other way to please God than through faith. You believe it. Oh my, I got so many thoughts coming to my mind. Hallelujah. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his testimony, or before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that was by faith. Abraham. How did Abraham obtain this righteousness? Genesis 15:6 says, Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Wow. What did he believe? All about Jesus and the good news of the gospel and so on? That is really something. Whatever God said, he believed. That's the secret. Do you know what we have today? We have people who believe just enough to get saved, but they're not sure about a universal flood. They think it was a local flood. People that claim to be saved. Well, I'm not so sure about creation. You know, God might have created through the process of evolution. Like the biology teacher that said to me, I believe in God and evolution. I just said, you don't either. You got to take your choice. You cannot believe in God and evolution. You cannot believe in God and evolution. Because God, Jesus said, he that created them in the beginning, right? And he that made them in the beginning, made them male and female and so on, Jesus believed in creation, not evolution. And there are many other ways to prove this. Oh my, I can't go into it. Praise the Lord. So Abraham believed in the Lord. What was it Abraham believed? My answer is everything God said. Anything God said, Abraham believed. And that's what God wants from you and me today.
Yes.
He wants us to believe every word in this book.
Praise the Lord.
Not just find a verse that'll get you saved at the exclusion of other verses. Well, it says, yeah, Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say a word there about baptism. Doesn't say a word about speaking in tongues. And I'm saved because I believe in the Lord. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe every word. Abraham was justified because he believed everything God said. He believed anything God said. God said, get up and go. He says, okay, let's go. Whatever God said, Abraham believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you believe everything in the book?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I didn't say, do you understand everything in the book?
Right.
Do you believe everything in the book?
Yeah.
That's what's required of us. Do we believe it? Praise the Lord. Okay. Hebrews 11. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Can you imagine that? Go kill your son, Abraham. Okay, God, let's go. He just believed everything God said. Oh, that we had that kind of faith. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which, listen to this, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh. Philippians 3:8-9. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Praise the Lord. You can't work up a righteousness. You can't work hard enough to become righteous. You've got to believe, and faith will produce holiness in your life. It'll produce works in your life. Praise the Lord. Not having mine own righteousness, but having a living, a vibrant, an active faith in God and His Word. What is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Amen. I think faith says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's the way Abraham felt about it. That's the way I want to feel about it. Faith. Do you have faith? How can you prove you have faith? My dad used to preach, and he would tell this story. He said, Abraham Lincoln was born in 1809 and assassinated in 1865. And during his presidency, he signed a document called the Emancipation Proclamation. And my dad would kind of act that out a little bit. And he'd say, here are the slaves down in Dixieland, you know, and they're hoeing their cotton and picking cotton, and they're out in the fields, and they're in slavery. And Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And they didn't have television in those days. They didn't have radio in those days. And probably not the telegraph in those days. I don't know. But anyway, they didn't have this fast means of communication. And so the heralds would go out, and they would run down the trails and holler at those slaves out in the field and say, President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. You can throw down your hoe. You're free. The guy'd say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So he keeps hoeing. He keeps picking cotton. He keeps burning under the sun. He doesn't believe it. The other guy says, I believe it. Woo! And he's gone. Faith. Do you have faith?
Praise the Lord.
Have you thrown down your hoe? Set down the bricks in the devil's old brickyard? Are you free? Is your faith active? Has it set you free to lift your hands and worship God? Raise your voice and shout unto God with the voice of triumph? Oh, praise the Lord. Has your faith set you free? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you. Okay, so back to Romans 1, verse 17. For therein, I think, there in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean, from faith to faith? Well, I sat there and I thought a while, does it mean from the faith of the preacher to the faith of the hearer? Does it mean from the Old Testament faith to New Testament faith? From faith to faith? Or does it mean from an obscure faith to a clear, distinct faith? Or does it mean from a weak faith to a gradually becoming stronger faith? Or does it mean a daily increase and strengthening in faith, which is almost the same? Or does it mean not from faith to works, and not from works to faith, but from faith to faith, that is, only by faith? That's the one I like, so let me read it again. What does faith to faith mean? Does it mean from works to faith? Does it mean from faith to works? Or does it mean from faith to faith? I'm going to try to prove to you that it means from faith to faith, only by faith. Now, that shouldn't be hard to prove because it says faith to faith. Okay. In 2 Corinthians 1:24, the Bible says, "For by faith ye stand." In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith." Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I live by the faith of the Son of God." Colossians 1:23, "If ye continue in the faith." Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, "Your faith groweth." And 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul's about to be decapitated, and he said, "I have kept the faith." He started in faith, he lived in faith, and he died in faith. He kept the faith. From faith to faith. And Jesus said in Luke 18:8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" How's your faith?
Jesus.
Growing or dwindling? How's your faith?
Thank you, Jesus.
If you're in the newspaper, if you're in the magazines, if you're in the radio, and if you're listening to the TV, your faith is going to dwindle away until you are going to be found without faith when Jesus comes. But if you're in your Bible,
praise
and if you do read the news and interpret them in the light of Scripture, your faith is growing and growing and growing. And oh, I tell you, Jesus asked that question. He didn't answer it. Not there. He just said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I was reading that one day, and the Holy Ghost just moved on me, and I began to weep. And I just looked up with tear-filled eyes, and I said, "Jesus, I want to answer your question. You will find faith on the earth when you come. If I'm alive and you come, you find faith because I'm dedicating myself to this book."
Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Don't you want to answer that way with me this morning? Yes, Jesus.
Yes.